Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Parenting Month. So excited to speak with a Lifebook veteran, a former guest, actually. Stephanie Lefevre is on the phone. How are you doing, Stephanie?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
We love having you on. You're a Lifebook favorite, and I'm so excited to talk today. You do some amazing work, especially in the field of motherhood. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing, your background, your professional background, and what you're working on now?
Yeah, I'm glad this is being recorded so I can play it for my kids. You're doing amazing work in the field of motherhood, because I don't know that they would agree. I am a professional mom, I guess. I have two kids of 8 and 10 years old right now, who give me a run for my money every day and teach me so much about life and happiness and just getting as much juice out of this journey as possible. I have a best-selling book called You Are a Badass Mom. And I host high-end retreats, high-end masterminds and luxury retreats, and have an online course and things like that. So I really am in the business of helping moms to shift their mindset and improve their relationships so that they can find as much happiness along their journey as possible. And that's where I find the most fulfillment. So that's what I love to do.
That's really great. That's a noble cause. And that's what I want to talk today about is motherhood and mothers, because it's such a massive undertaking. It's such a sacrifice. It's such a complex process to conceive a child, you know, bear a child, conceive a child, and then raise the thing. Of course, there are lots of dads out there who are stay-at-home dads and all of that sort of thing. But what I really see among mothers is they lose their sense of self sometimes when you raise another child. And I think that's a genetic function, because that's how we got here. That's how we're alive, you know, protecting our young and letting them absorb our life force, quite literally, our time, our life energy. Do you find that that's a trap that a lot of mothers fall into? Do you see other similar life traps that mothers fall into without even realizing it?
Yeah, I think you're touching on two things. So one is losing your sense of self. It's exactly what you would call it. And I think as women, we are so nurturing, you know, and we are caregivers, and we give and give and give. It's just part of our makeup of who we are. And so we lose our sense of self because we take care of everyone around us, especially our children. You know, we take care of our cubs. Like, that's why we were, you know, that's what we're made to do. And we can lose ourselves in that. Absolutely. When we don't put ourselves in our relationship first, we can get really lost. I mean, I would say the majority of the clients that I have put, you know, 10, 20 years into raising their kids, and now they're like, now what? You know, because we can get lost in that cycle of being overly nurturing and giving. And the second thing I think you touched on, like the biggest life trap for me, is overwhelm. We just, as moms, are overwhelmed being the primary parent in most cases. And, you know, some of us are also working and raising these kids and raising, you know, keeping a household and all the other invisible job duties that come along with being a parent. So many invisible job duties, like we could list hundreds and we wouldn't be touching on them. And so it can be really overwhelming. You know, we also tend to take everything on ourselves and try and do it all ourselves because we feel like that's what, you know, we're made to do, and that's what society's doing, and everyone else does it, which is not really true. I mean, it's always historically taken a village to raise a child, and I believe it really does, and that we need to outsource and, you know, get a lot of help and
connect.
And do what we're really good at and outsource the things we're not really good at, which is never really shared with us and taught to us. But, you know, if we focus back on that, we can get out of overwhelm. I really think that overwhelm is one of the biggest issues that we have as moms, putting too much on our own plate. And so therefore, what can we do about overwhelm?
You tell me, what can we do about overwhelm? Strategies and principles, self-work. I mean, let's face it, this is all a privilege. It's a blessing and a curse. We thought that when we were all well fed and we had, you know, proper sanitation, that all our problems were going to go away. We thought that when you created the internet and we all get to come together as one and share ideas, we thought all our problems were going to go away. And it's just not how it works. New problems present themselves. New needs arise. And you also have to let go of these genetic vestiges of the past. I speak with Dr. Joel Wade all the time. I produce his podcast called The Mastering Happiness Podcast. Everyone listening, please find The Mastering Happiness Podcast. We're everywhere on all podcast apps. He is so great. He's the best.
Yeah.
He talks about anger and he talks about rage. And it's basically a unnecessary genetic remnant, almost like an appendix is how he described it. I just thought it was so fascinating. It's just an interesting thought. We have to address these new needs, like a sense of overwhelm, even though we're well aware that we live in a safe society and all those things. But you tell me, how can we avoid that overwhelm, especially mothers?
Yeah. Overwhelm is a state of mind, right?
Yes.
So overwhelm is a state. And so one of the things I help my clients look at is this formula that I created for creating a new reality. So I realized a long time ago that when I want to create a new reality, what I tend to do is try a different strategy, right? Take different action. Mm-hmm. And that sounds right. But what I realized after many failed attempts at creating a new reality, like creating a new reality in the morning with my children, like it was overwhelming and hectic to get them to school every day. I was going to try this new approach. I was going to try this new morning, you know, routine formula. I was going to try, you know, and have them make their own lunches. I was going to try and I kept doing strategy. And we kept getting the same results of a hectic, crazy morning. So the formula that I created a long time ago and then applied to that is S plus S plus S equals R. And the first S is your state. The state that you're in and the way that you've primed yourself and the way that you've gotten yourself ready is most important. Mm. So if overwhelm is a state of mind, where have you primed yourself and gotten your state ready so that you're not in a state of overwhelm? Because the more that we walk around and go, I'm overwhelmed. Guess what? We're placing orders for more overwhelm.
Right.
Right. And we can't get out of that state. So your state plus your story. And what I mean by your story is your thoughts and your words are, you know, our intentions that are coming back to you. So, you know, my thoughts and words, I was telling everyone, oh, our mornings are hectic. And my story, our mornings are crazy. And oh my God, my kids are just so off the wall. And, you know, everyone's so, you know, frazzled in the morning. And so that's what I'm seeing. And that's what I'm getting more of. Mm. So if I can prime myself and change my state, if I can rewrite a new story, then take different strategies, I can create a new reality. For me, getting out of overwhelm starts by the awareness that overwhelm is a state of mind. It comes next by really priming ourselves and feeling really good. So what have you done every morning in order to get in your best state? You know, in those days I was waking up just reacting to life and reacting to the morning and responding to my kids and, you know, checking emails and scrolling social media when things were getting hectic just to zone out. Instead of waking up and meditating, visualizing the morning going well, you know, doing some affirmations, playing some music that makes me feel good, you know, beginning in gratitude every morning and thinking about what I'm grateful for. Then I come downstairs, I'm totally primed and ready in a different way. My state, my energy in the room is going to change the room.
I love that. You're 100%
right. So for me, overwhelm, really starts with that it's a state of mind. So how can we get in the right state energetically? And then change our story, make our thoughts and words align with what we do want. So instantly I wrote on the bathroom mirror, our mornings are peaceful and easy. You know, we get out the door in a happy manner. Like I started writing that and going, duh, why aren't I applying this to this? And as I wrote that on my mirror, that's what we started experiencing. Because my thoughts and my words, my story was now aligned with what I do want instead of just talking about and, you know, thinking about all that I don't want and creating more of that. So then all the strategies worked. And now we really have peaceful, awesome, smooth, easy mornings.
I love it.
I also think it's easy to be overwhelmed when you're not present. Because I think when we come back to the present moment, all is well. So moms, it's so easy for us to not get present because we have, you know, we're great multitaskers and we have so much on our plate. And if we just get present, the overwhelm can drop away and we can, you know, find more streamlined ways and more proactive ways to deal with all that we're dealing with. Hmm.
Do you feel that a lot of it revolves around disempowerment? You know, the child literally sapping your energy, society telling you all these things, technology harping at you, you know, emails, all this. Does it disempower women? And is it about bringing that power back?
Oh, I love that you touched on that. I mean, I think it's so much about our power, like stepping into our power, stepping into herself. When we are reactive to life, I think that's disempowering, period.
Yeah.
When we're proactive,
that's a great way
life.
To put it. And motherhood is very reactionary.
Yep.
Just mm-hmm. by nature. I mean, when you're with the kids are very reactionary. And if you're the masculine, I mean, let's not even just say if you're the man, if you're the masculine, you're out hunting, you don't got to deal with that. You got your own problems, but you don't have to deal mm-hmm. with those weird specific stresses. So I want to get into empowerment, but before that, I want to get your estimation on something. We'll get into all the good stuff and all the positive stuff, but first I have a question for you. And it revolves around motherhood in today's culture and just family values, I think. Family values are in a strange state right now, especially with the integration of technology. But what do you find is missing from motherhood or motherhood strategies or just the family unit in today's culture? Why is it that even mothers with these great intentions who put a ton of love and effort and their own life force into their families can still end up personally highly unsatisfied or worst case scenario, find themselves in an unhealthy family dynamic? I mean, a perfect example is I grew up in the Chicago suburbs and some of the most well-to-do kids, in fact, the highest rate, the most well-to-do kids all got addicted to drugs. They had whatever it was about. Again, we thought that if you take care of everything and you're living in the dream suburbia world, your problems are going to be gone. Not how it went down. I remember those kids getting hooked on drugs and just wondering mm-hmm. why. What do you think is missing?
I think you touched on it about being proactive, but I think it goes deeper. I think what's saying is that we're not being proactive about consciously creating our lives. Mm-hmm. Like really consciously creating our lives, starting with consciously creating our mornings, consciously creating our day, consciously creating our month, our year, and our lives. You know, I think when we're reactive, we don't consciously create. So what's missing is creating a plan, mm-hmm. a plan for our life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because people here have a life book. But if you break that down to being a mom, are you consciously creating your morning, your day, what you want, how you want to show up for your family, who you want to show up as in this world? And are you then being proactive about living up to that?
Yes.
So, you know, too many women, moms, don't consciously create their lives. And if they have a life book, massive, massive benefit, right? Huge advantage.
Absolutely.
You have a life book, so you've looked at your life in every different area and you've looked at what you want and why you want it and how you're going to get it. So huge. Now, are we doing that on the macro level? You know, are we doing mm-hmm. that in a smaller way about our morning, about our day, about the way we eat, about, you know, the way we feed our kids' bodies and souls?
Yes.
You know, are we consciously creating everything that we do want or are we just reacting to the world? So well, it's proactive.
Yes, you're absolutely dead on. And how could it go any other way? We are reactionary creatures. That's how we survived, mm-hmm. you know, for these thousands, tens of thousands of years. You know, our ancestor species, you see a snake, you react. You see a fresh mm-hmm. water source, you react. Mm-hmm. We are reactionary creatures. That's literally how we were built. And now you stick us in modern society. Okay, so let's take this reactionary creature who still has essentially a similar mind as a Cro-Magnon, and we put mm-hmm. him in Times Square where it's just bombarded, right? Just bombarded with everything, mm-hmm. ideas, beliefs. People trying to get your money, people trying to get your time, people trying to take your life. How could it go any other way? Here we are built to react and then put us in a society with the most insane stimuli that mm-hmm. no one could ever have foreseen. Of course,
right,
this is what's going to happen.
But what if we were trained as to how to react. I mean, if you yes. taught a kid how to react when they see a snake, you know exactly what to do, then they're going to react in a better yeah. when they see the snake.
Yes, right? So knowledge and consciousness.
Our bodies and minds. Yeah, yes. It's doing the personal growth, the inner work, the personal expansion work to prepare ourselves, to get our state in the right place, to have our story in the right place, to have all the tools in our tool belt that we need so that we are trained. Yeah, it's doing the proactive work, I think. You're totally right.
And I think it's the next step in evolution. That's what Missy's always saying. For the woo-woo members, you'll love this. She believes there's a massive undergoing of evolution in the human species right now. And we're all waking up and our brains are kicking on.
Collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness is coming. I mean, she's real deep into that stuff. And it's just so fascinating because you see it.
Me too. I love it. I think the scales are tipping in that favor. Yes, absolutely.
I'm very fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about empowering. You got a lot of great strategies. That's what I like about you. You got equations and stuff. I'm left-brained. I like that stuff. what's the most empowering thing a mother can do for herself, you know, after having a family for however, you know, many decades or years?
You know, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I think it's a morning routine. I think it's creating the habits in the morning that will most highly serve her, that then can most highly serve the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like men have been tapping into like these success principles and, you know, daily habits and,
usually revolving around sports and money, but yes.
Yes. And, I learned from, you know, Robin Sharma and, you know, and Tony Robbins and, you know, they're all like, you know, these morning routines and all, and they don't really work for most women because, you know, women wake up and mm-hmm. we're the caregivers mm-hmm. and we're the nurturers. So we can write down the six things we want to do in the morning. Okay, I want to do my gratitude practice and I want to do a meditation and I want to do a visualization and I want to do these affirmations and then I want to listen to some music. And it doesn't, it's usually interrupted by a child crying or someone missing their socks or, you know, and even if you get up really early, sometimes there's more things that you have to react to. So I really believe that as women, we can be flexible with our morning routines, but also diligent about getting certain things in that feed our souls and that really fill us up. So taking care of ourselves first, you know, I know it sounds impossible to most women, but nurturing ourselves first with something like a structured morning routine, structured, but flexible, which pieces of it do you really need? I mean, I wake up in the morning and I go BIG, begin in gratitude every morning. So I think about what I'm grateful for, open my eyes, but I created that as a habit. So it's designing the habits and then, you know, really holding ourselves to those habits to create those new habits. I do that first thing. There's nothing that could get in the way of that because it's just, it's within my nature in the morning now. And then I do guided meditation. And sometimes I just put it on my phone. I sit up and I do it. Sometimes my kids come in and I say, do it with me or get out of the room. You know, they know that like I'm in the middle of it. Sometimes it gets interrupted. Sometimes I put on headphones and sometimes I don't, like I'm flexible within it. You know, I also visualize my day. I also do some affirmations. I put on some music because it gets all of us in a great state. Sometimes it's just a song for me. Sometimes it's a song for everybody. So flexible but diligent with creating these new daily habits. I mean, I think that we just throw our hands up in the air because we, you know, have kids and have so much on our plate and don't think that we can structure new daily habits that will shape our reality, but they do. You know, you create your habits and then your habits shape your life.
Yes.
So new morning daily habits that really empower us and fuel us and fill us up. That's really powerful.
Pop question here. Not on the list of questions, but you'll have a good answer. Best mm-hmm. supporting category for mother. Well, let's just say for you, what's your best supporting category? What needs to be in order for you to be a good mother?
Health and fitness. I mean, I have to, you know, get those rush of endorphins and feel good and, you know, work on my mind, body, and soul by feeding myself healthy food and superfoods and, you know, working out and moving. And that's so important to me.
Me too.
For most of my clients, you know, when I have these 8 power questions that I ask every morning and 8 power questions that I ask every evening that I'm happy to share with you too, if that sounds like something your listeners would like.
Yes, absolutely.
And those power questions, what I see from most women is, you know, when it comes to like, how could we have made today better? It's, I could have moved my body. I could have worked out. I could have done something to like feed this human body that we're experiencing here, you know, like in a better way. So that's always something that comes up. Yeah. You want me to share these power questions with you?
Absolutely.
They are fun. So I do it as like a journaling session every, it's quick and easy. I mean, all the things that I do are quick and easy because as a mom, you can't do things that are long and extensive.
Right.
I don't get as much out of journaling. I know many women and men do. This to me feels different than journaling and this really works for me. So I've just adapted these over time with pulling in different and trying them out. So I do 8 questions in the morning and 8 questions in the evening because 8 is my favorite number. People can shape and shift things like this in any way, but it's, you know, I really like the 5-minute journal. That's a really great process too. So it has some similar elements to that, but much more involved. So the morning questions, number one is a big message I need to remind myself of and keep uppermost in my mind today is. Question 2 is the 3 goals and objectives that I'm most committed to completing today are. Number 3, today I'm most committed to experiencing myself as and because.
Ooh.
Number 4, what's most likely to get in the way or pull me off track from accomplishing my goals and feeling how I want to feel is. And number 5, this is a good one, my plan for when that happens is. So again, this is all so much about being proactive about who we want to show up as, how we want to feel, and who we want to be and what we want to experience. Number 6 is one action I could take today to stretch myself and get a little uncomfortable is. Number 7, I'll know that I'm done for the day today when. And number 8, I'll know that today had been a successful day because. So much proactive work in the morning at any time that you can work that in to really custom design your day, consciously create it. Wow. The evening questions are number 1, a moment that I really enjoyed today was, and because. Number 2, our light bulb moment or learning for me today was. Number 3, how I intend to use that realization tomorrow is. Number 4, I could have made today better if. Number 5, what challenged me most today was. Number 6, next time I'm faced with that same or similar challenge, my plan is to. Number 7, someone I'm grateful to today is and because, and I intend to show them my gratitude by. And number 8, what I feel I accomplished today is.
I love it.
So I love doing that. It was first introduced to me by one of my coaches, Dax Moy, who's amazing. And I custom design them and keep enhancing them and use them with my clients. And it's another way of going about being really proactive about our day and who we're showing up as.
Do you find that's your most powerful ongoing ritual?
I think meditation, visualization, and that. I mean, it'd be hard for me to separate and see which of those 3 is the most powerful.
Well, it's about maintaining your sanity, right? And meditation, preparation is a great way, but meditation is about the best tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. Before we wrap it up, let me ask you, what can we as husbands, fathers, brothers do better and focus on to truly help women on their journey, both in motherhood and in their self-development?
I love that. I really think what comes to me there is help a wife, help a mom protect her time, like protect her time, like give her time, because we won't often take it ourselves. So giving it without us asking, you know, protecting our time, saying, you know, take the next 2 hours, go do whatever you need to do. You know, I'll take the kids while you take a shower. We won't interrupt you for the next hour. I mean, those kind of things are so crucial so that we can find our sense of self again, so that we can be present in the moment. Protecting our time is what I think is the biggest gift that you can give a mom.
I love that. And I love giving it to them. You know, I did an interview with an amazing person, and he's an entrepreneur. Jeff Hayes is his name. And he lost a child and a grandchild. And it was an episode about grief. It was about dealing with grief and dealing with grieving people. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I asked him what advice he had for us who could help the grieving. And he said, you'd never send the text or even make the call or even have the conversation in person where you say, if you ever need anything, I'm here for you. If you ever just give me a call, I'm here. I'm, he says, it's never going to work. You need to go over there and mow their lawn. You need to go over there and see if the lawn needs mowing, and then you need to mow it. That is the only way to help these people. And he had a whole bunch of reasons why.
Show up.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of similar, obviously, on a different level here. I don't know what that instinct is. I'll have to dig deeper into that. Maybe I'll talk to Lion. But you have to give it to them. And it can be frustrating as a pragmatist and a person who doesn't struggle with that, to be like, just tell me when you need the thing. I mean, I need to know. Right. So there's a little bit of sympathy on that part, but the way Jeff put it just really stuck with me.
Right. That's beautiful. I maybe it's through him that I've heard that too. It's just, you know, just show up, just do, don't ask, just do.
Oh yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a pleasure, Stephanie. Do you have anything to add? Otherwise, make sure to give us all your wonderful websites and social media and all that.
Thank you. I love it. I'm such a fan of Lifebook and of you, Jordan. So this is so fun. What else do I have to add? You know, the only thing I would add is that we touched on with It Takes a Village is I think more women need accountability. You know, to create these daily habits, to be more proactive about our lives. And I do see that men have tapped into this. You know, you hear that Henry Ford had a mastermind and accountability group, and President Lincoln had one. And, you know, I don't know that in this day and age that women tap into like the sisterhood, the tribe, the mastermind, the accountability that they really could in order to do that. So the biggest thing I hear from my clients is, I just asked recently in my Facebook group, I have a Facebook group called the Badass Mom Society. Any of you moms are welcome to join me there. It's a free Facebook group. I asked recently, so what is a bigger problem? Do you A, not know what to do, or B, not know how to consistently? And overwhelmingly, 99 out of 100 women said B, not knowing how to do it consistently. And so consistency is a key. And for me, consistency comes from accountability. Like, I've been running mastermind accountability groups for over 25 years, just because it was very natural to me to think, well, if I won't do this thing on my own, maybe I'll do it with someone else by my side. You know, maybe I'll do it with the positive social pressure of someone else saying, yeah, I'll do it too. And you can't not do it, or that makes, you know, allows me not to do it. So we can say to women, create a new morning routine, create some new daily habits, but often we won't do that. So have some accountability, and women can do that easily. Do it with your best mom friend. Do it with your husband. You know, you can join masterminds and accountability.
That was going to be my next question. Can the husband serve as this? Because sometimes that can get messy. If you know what I mean? Obviously, if your relationship is strong and you're both on that same page, but some people do not want their partner being that accountability person because of whatever wiring they have.
Right. I mean, it works for certain things. Like, my husband and I did a 30-day like health and fitness challenge together and held each other accountable, and that worked.
Totally. 30-day sex challenge. That's a great one.
Yes. And I've had a sex and sensuality accountability group where two other married moms and I, all three of us, met weekly and talked about how are we going to enhance our sex lives, you know, in our monogamous married relationship. And it was fun and it was awesome. And it was like, here's what I'm going to do this week. Hold me accountable. Here's what I'm going to do this week. And we got ideas off of each other. It was simple. you know, we did it for a couple months together. Our husbands didn't even know about it. They just reaped the benefits of it. It was awesome.
That's really
so
cool.
Use some accountability, because it really fuels creating new daily habits. And I think we often do more for, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together. Like it really, really helps. So mm-hmm. I really encourage that.
Yeah, I love that. And shout out to all the badass moms and dads for that matter, who just stick with it and don't, you know, it's funny because my number one parenting supporting category, health and fitness, for sure. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because I'm sensitive to that sort of thing. I'm going to have, I have ups and downs depending on that. And I think mm-hmm. most people probably fall into that category. I'd say over half of people, but there are also those people who just get it done and they don't sleep. Yeah. Missy is one of those people. Missy is one of those people. She'll stay up all night with the baby and come down with a smile on her face. She just gets it done. I would be physically breaking down, like legitimately. I have a history of epilepsy, like depriving myself of sleep. No, not her, man. She effing gets it done. And I'm halfway jealous, and I kind of put it on genetics. Like, oh, I wish
and
I
inspired.
Had that. But I'm also highly inspired and just so, so much admiration for those people. It's just so badass. You know what I mean?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. It's powerful. Yeah. It's power. Mm-hmm. But we can all tap into that power. Yeah. Especially when we witness other people doing it, it helps.
Totally. And that's what it's all about, is building that power. No matter what hand you were dealt, let's all work on ourselves mm-hmm. and work on our kids. This was fantastic. Thank you so much for this lovely conversation. And I'm sure you'll be back on again soon.
Thank you. I love it. It was so awesome. I have if anyone wants to find me, I have a quiz that I really love. It's called bestlifequiz.com. It's an easy way to start a journey with me. Take that quiz. I have free 5-day challenges. I have a 21-day badass mom mindset course and online courses and things like that. And would love some more Lifebook listeners along this journey with me. So,
oh yeah, I'm sure you'll really get them now.
Yeah, hope to see all of you along the journey, and love doing this with you, Jordan. Let's talk again soon.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Mind Valley. Come on, Mind Valley. Yeah. I'm a university coming up here. You're speaking, right?
I'll be at Mind Valley University teaching a workshop on the 6 simple steps to manifest your ideal life. And my son is going to be there with me, and he has no idea what he's getting himself into. It's such an incredible experience. I taught at the one in Barcelona 2 years ago. Taught the Lifebook session and did a session on my own. And this year I'm going to do my own session, and can't wait. I'm going to see John and Missy just for 1 day. Our time overlaps, so I'll get to see them, but we'll hopefully see your brother and sister and mm-hmm. and Vision and all of you Lifebook Mind Valley listeners. I would love to see you there. So find me on Facebook and say hello when you're there, if you'll be at Mind Valley University.
I wish I could join you guys. I got poker tournaments coming this summer, making my dreams come true. Stay tuned for Career Month.
That's exciting.
Some
plan
cool
it
stuff.
For next summer already. Block it out.
Love it. Stephanie, one more time. Thank you.
Thank you. It was so, so wonderful. You're so good at this.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Everybody listening, we'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.